Hi guys, Salam Nerds here, and we want to talk to you guys about the floods in Pakistan that have damaged almost a million homes and wiped out entire villages. The flooding in Pakistan is due to climate change. The melting glaciers and torrential rain have caused the death tolls to be in the thousands, with more than 33 million people displaced. One third of Pakistan is underwater. This is more than a national emergency, this is a humanitarian catastrophe. This is because the CO2 emissions produced by countries like the UK, the US, Russia, and France. Pakistan does not have the infrastructure to withstand this devastation. Even though Pakistan is one of the lowest producers of GHG at 1%, it is one of the top 5 worst affected by climate change. We here at Salam Nerds are sending direct links to you guys to Islamic Relief so you can donate. Please donate generously.
Yo, 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 Salam Nerds. It's your boy Neebs, aka Watch with Neebs, and I'm here with my co-host Jazz, aka the Jazz Feeder.
The Jazz Feeder. Okay. I know what you're gonna go with that. I see where you're going with that, but
you know where we're going with that, right?
I know where we're going with that. I appreciate it. I like that.
I didn't know why that villain had that name, but now it all makes sense. So we're going to get into that. That's going to be super cool. Listen, we have some people on our show today, and I'm really excited. What about you, Jazz?
I mean, I have to be excited, right?
Yeah, you have to be excited.
I'm kidding. I don't have to be excited. I actually really am excited. I've been waiting so long for this day because one of the guests here today is actually a family member of mine. And so he's a super nerd just like me. I know we said Ibrahim first, but I guess we should just like dive into Sarosh now.
Sure, let's do Sarosh first.
All right, Sarosh is actually my sister's husband. So Sarosh, please introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Sarosh. As Jazz said, super nerd. We've been talking nerd stuff for since before I got married, so excited to be on here with you guys.
That's awesome. That's not nepotism at all, man. It's just
we're talking about a show that maybe has a little, you know, things here and there with family. So yeah,
that is true. This show does keep it in the family. Oh man, awesome. Well, welcome. And next we have Ibrahim. Called a funny falafel. I saw him do some comedy, some stand-up, really funny guy. He's been wanting to come on our show and talk about some nerd stuff, man. Welcome, Ibrahim. How are you?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here. No, I'm a big nerd myself. Been watching lots of TV shows for many years, and it's something that's close to my heart. Told my friends I was doing this. They were like, this sounds like you. This show where nerds talking about Game of Thrones and stuff like that, exactly like you. So I'm very excited.
That's awesome.
We have a community.
I know. I love that. Isn't that cool, Jazz? We got like a little community. People come up on our lives and people just like, you know, want to come on our show. It's so fun.
I love it.
Oh, man. This is really, really, really good. But listen, I do want to talk about something a little bit more serious. Some of you might have noticed before our intro, there was a new thing. And, you know, listen. Guys, there is something that's happening right now. And if you are a fan of our podcast, if you are a fan of Miss Marvel, if you are a decent person, please donate to the Pakistan. We told our sponsors that we will not be promoting them so we can bring attention to this cause. And they understood. And, you know, Halal Shirts will also be donating all their proceeds to the Pakistani Relief through Islamic Relief. And if you guys know any other organizations that are doing stuff for Pakistan, please leave them in the comments. We will share. Right now, one third of Pakistan is underwater. This is a historic flooding, and thousands of people have already died. 33 million people have been affected by the disasters. Schools, hospitals, farmlands, all destroyed. Pakistan only emits like 1% of the global emissions, but is still one of the top 5 countries to be affected by climate change. So things you can do are donate to charities like Islamic Relief, force your political leaders to stand up to corporations, because just a handful of them are responsible for 70% of the emissions. So
yep, there are 100 companies responsible for 70% of all of Earth's global greenhouse gas emissions. That's completely true.
Yep. And please share, like, comment any posts about Pakistan at all. And lastly, but not least, please pray for the people in Pakistan. All the links will be in all of our bios, my TikTok, Instagram. You can find the link for it anywhere. Jazz, anything would you like to add?
So you mentioned Islamic Relief, right? I'm going to be posting a Google Doc with a bunch of organizations on there. And there are like 20 plus orgs on here. You can donate to any of them. They all do great work. And I've personally audited their tax statements that their nonprofit has to submit every year. All of them are doing good work. All of them are sustainable, which is the important thing. Every now and then you may see an org saying, oh, we donate 100% of your money to this cause, right? I always have an issue with that because that means it's not sustainable. You know, you need leaders. You need people on the ground, like people who have been there to do this work, right? And that means you will have to pay some salary. So if 100% is going straight to the people, you don't have a sustainable organization. Now, don't get me wrong. The orgs I'm going to be posting, all of them are like 95 plus of your money will be going to the actual people. And only 5% will use for admin fees. So I do want to make that clarification. All these organizations are great. They're global. We've been working with them for years, and I highly recommend every single one of them.
Wow. Thanks, Jazz. Thanks for doing the due diligence, man. That is awesome. And we'll post that up. We'll have it up on all of our social media. Jazz, make sure you give me the link for that so I can put it in our link tree.
You know what?
And
let me just put it here too. So
let's throw it here. Let's throw it in the comment sections.
I put it on the YouTube comment section and the Facebook comment section.
Yeah,
and then
I'll
send you the link too.
I don't know if people are going to memorize that link. So let's make
right,
it.
Right, yeah.
Having it on the screen might not help as much, but definitely we'll find some ways to get you guys a shorter link, and we'll put them in all our profiles so that you guys can do that. This is something that's very important to us. If you care about us at all in any way, this is the number one way you can support us. Having a platform is not worth shit to us if we can't make a difference in this
Correct.
Kind of way. So thank you, everybody. And you know, let's get started with the show. Let's get started with the House of the Dragon. And Jazz, let's talk about that intro. That intro is pretty fire. We did not have that intro last time, and now we do. What do you think about that intro, Jazz? Tell us.
The blood rushing down and like popping up every little thing. I'm just like, what is this foreshadowing? Like, I was just blown away at the incredible amount of detail they put into just that intro. Like, that intro could have probably taken $1 million right there. Let's be real, right? And so I think we're in for a wild ride, because if they're putting this much effort into like the small things, right? Imagine how good the story is going to be.
Fair. Because they said that the intro has a lot of meaning behind it, because it is the Targaryen family tree and the blood represents who dies, which is really, really cool. Sarosh, why don't you tell us like what you thought of the intro?
Yeah, I mean, listening to that music, the iconic music coming in, you know, brought back a lot of those feels. I wasn't sure if Ramin was going to keep it the same or different. He has that tendency to slightly change up things and motifs. So I loved that. I will say the one critique I had of it, I love the Game of Thrones intro. It was very like, practical, right? Useful. You could see like the different settings, right, on the map of where they're going to be, the different places. This one, I love the visuals. I had a hard time with the different sort of gears and showing like the different events, right, in Targaryen history and things like that. Like, I had to have people on Reddit, like, you know, pause and zoom in and figure out like what each of those things meant. So that's my only like slight criticism of it, is like, I wish it was a little bit more like, I mean, Game of Thrones one was like, you know, one in a million, like it's probably one of the best ones of all time. So love the music, love the visuals. I wish it was a little bit more, it's hard bar to live up to, but something like the original, I guess.
Yeah. Ibrahim, what about you, man? Did you expect to have the same music? Did you think it was going to do like, give you the same kind of feels as the original Game of Thrones?
Well, I think like you mentioned in the first episode, they didn't have that intro. So I wasn't expecting it to be the same person. I thought they were going to go in a very different direction. And then I was surprised. I was like, oh my God, I know this. I know this music. I know what's going on. And then like that you see it, but it's like different enough visually that it is its own like show. So it's like a perfect kind of spinoff vibes for me, where it's different enough, but similar enough. I liked it personally. Yeah.
Nice. All right, so let's get into the episode, man. The episode kind of starts off with the nickname that I gave for Jazz, the Crab Feeder. And I was like, oh, yo, first episode, I'm like, what kind of dumbass name is the Crab Feeder? and then you see the visuals of the crab, like, picking that guy's feet and eating it while he's alive. Bro, that was good. What do you think, Chad?
I mean, it was a little, let me put it this way, it's Game of Thrones, right? I was going to say it's a little gratuitous, but you know what? Why should we expect anything less? This is Game of Thrones, right? They're gonna do the gory details on every little thing. Like, you saw the gangrene, the skin rotting, and the crabs just eating it away. I was like, oh, this is a good This is a good scene. I'm not sure if I should admit this, but the first thing that came to my mind when I saw that was the Crab Rave song. Have y'all like, y'all know what I'm talking about?
No, none of us have any idea what you're talking about. Please, please explain, Jazz.
You know what? We'll edit this later. But
you know what?
Maybe, I know it as a DJ, right? But I don't.
I feel like we might not need to explain this. What is this, Jazz?
I was leaving the comments. Is there a way we can pull that up, actually?
I think so. I think if you hit the last button, which is cinema layout, you can do it. You have a dual screen. You want to try it?
I do.
Oh my God. This might be a disaster. We don't know. All right, Jazz, try it.
C4. Okay, how do I? It's not letting me do the thing.
Oh, we should have tested out. I don't know if we know how to do this. It's not letting you do it?
It's not letting me do it.
You got to hit share first, I think. At the bottom.
Oh, you know what? Let me just do that real quick.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what Jazz is going to show us, man. I hope it's not something creepy.
It's not creepy. Relax.
I don't know, Jazz. I don't know about you.
That's fair. Oh, wait. I screwed that up. Let me try that again because I forgot to hit share audio.
Oh, this is so cool. I love this feature. I never used this before, guys. We have never used this feature before, but if you're watching us on YouTube, you can see the live video and audio while we're watching it.
All right, so check this out. I'm going to fast forward a bit.
Okay. All right, it's just a bunch of crabs on an island.
Wait for it.
I'm trying to get the podcast people some audio.
I can't believe y'all haven't heard of this.
No.
So this is the scene I was talking about. This is what came to my mind when I was watching Game of Thrones.
Jazz, I want the last 3 minutes of my life back.
Same.
What was that?
It's Crab Rave.
You bring dishonor on your family. You bring dishonor on your cow. You bring dishonor on your crab. Oh, man. We apologize to the people listening on the podcast who don't have any freaking, don't know. Dad just showed us some video about a bunch of crabs dancing. I don't know why.
Oh, come on. It's so on brand for me.
All right. Listen, man. All right. Forget the crabs. Let's talk about something a little more exciting.
You're not going to even ask to guess about the crabs. Just done with crabs now.
I'm done with crabs, man. We all have had crabs now, and so we're done with that. Do we want to go around the room getting everyone's opinion on the crabs? All right, Ibrahim. Go ahead, Ibrahim. Give us your opinions on the crabs.
The crabs are crabs, man. That's what I got to say. No, actually, it reminded me of that Harry Potter scene, and I think there's a lot of memes about it as well with Newt Scamander when he goes with the creatures and he does his like little crab dance, and they were like, oh, that's how you defeat the crab feeders, do the little new Scamander scene and you'll win.
That's so funny.
So that was hilarious.
God damn, you're such a nerd. I love it.
I got you.
All right, man. All right. You know what? Let's talk about something a little more exciting than crab. Let's talk about the most handsome man in all of House of the Dragons. Kristen Cole, we got to see him get picked for the King's Guard, which I thought was pretty cool. And I really liked the way Rhaenyra went about picking him. Sarosh, what do you think?
Yeah, that was perfect. I mean, right before that, she was, you know, trying to give some advice in the small council. And Otto's like, can we do something else with you? And then still follows her while she was there, just, you know, always undermining her. But you can see that she actually has, you know, some good thought behind it that, okay, this is a guy who actually has some, you know, battle experience in this time of peace. He's one of the few people among any of them, you know. And I was like, well, you know, we need to get these, you know, alliances. And she's like, no, like, I want to do what's actually practical and makes sense. And hey, if it looks good too, you know, it's not, it doesn't hurt on the side too. So I thought she's making some good decisions there.
Ibrahim, do you think his looks had any wavering on why he was picked, man? Because that's a good looking dude, bro. That's a good looking dude.
You know what? I watched your first episode when you talked about him, and I was like, I'm gonna talk about it. They talk about, like, they like emphasize so much. You can feel the main characters or like the important characters in Game of Thrones so easily just by who's good looking. Like, who's the person who's gonna create like trouble or drama in like this world is always this super good looking knight or super good looking dude. You know he's not showing up for one episode. There's gonna be something else. There's gonna be more drama and something. So it was like, I felt like they had like foreshadowed a little bit in the first episode, and now we're seeing him in action. But really, my favorite moment with him is later on when we meet, like when he actually gets into action, has a couple.
Oh, we'll get into that, because that's on my list, and that is one of my favorite moments too. we'll definitely get into that. But I don't know if I think he's going to be. We can't know for Game of Thrones, man. Anything goes. Like, you could be the hottest person in the world, like Jason Momoa, and only last one season, right? That's what do you guys think?
One season is a lot for Game of Thrones.
Okay, fair.
One of the best characters ever lasted one season is Sean Bean. So, like, yeah, you never know.
That is true, man. Ned Stark, so many people only last one season. So, yeah, you know, it's a good thing. All right, cool. So let's talk about the creepiest part of this season so far, and you guys know what I'm talking about. The child bride. Oh man, that was a very creepy scene. I guess, you know, makes sense for, you know, that time. I don't know what time it is, but you know what they're trying to do. Jazz, you have thoughts, share them.
I mean, like, I was expecting someone, you know, 14 maybe, right? Like, it's still young, but it's still disgusting. But it's not as disgusting as this girl being like 9 years old.
That makes sense. But I feel like what they wanted to do is they wanted to give people a reference point for Alicent, right? Because like Alicent's also just 15.
She's like a year or two older than her, right? Like, yeah, it doesn't make any difference.
But like, I think they wanted to paint this illusion that like she is very, very young, which makes Alicent look like not as bad of an option, right? Sarosh, what do you think?
Yeah, I did want to just talk about the ages a little bit too. So I'm gonna be very careful with book spoilers and stuff like that, because I know we want to be really mindful about that. But there are a couple of changes there that I don't think are spoilers or anything or like big things for the future. But like in the original, like Song of Ice and Fire, they aged up those characters quite a bit, right? In those books, they were like preteens and teens, and they brought them up. And in this one, like Rhaenyra was like 8 in the books, and Alicent's 18. So there's like a, you know, that's a big change that they made, you know, mm-hmm. for the show. They made that change, and they made them both like 14, 15 for this. So, and I think Jazz is right. I think it was to show that difference of like, okay, it's not as bad as the 8, 9-year-old, you know, but it's obviously still problematic, but there's something different there. So I mean, that change has been such a big deal, but I think one like the really critical to the show. I mean, we can talk about it later, you know, what ends up happening. That betrayal, or you know, that complex relationship between them. But I think that's like a really important point.
Yeah, I mean, it is a very important point, because you know, Alicent is basically best friends with Rhaenyra, and maybe even more than best friends. We don't know, right? You mm-hmm. saw that look that she gave. Yeah, well, you saw that look, and that is not a look of someone who just lost a friend. That is someone who lost someone more than a friend. What do you guys think, Ibrahim?
Ooh. No, man, it's not just that. It's also the vulnerability they share in that scene when she gets her to pray, you know? Like, there's some kind of thing with her. Like, there's something. And even in that first episode, I was like, there's some weird vibes going on between those two, because, like, she's, like, lying on her lap. She's sharing all her secrets. Like, they're a little bit more than they, you know, Game of Thrones, you never know if they're friends or not. You know, it's, like, in that world. So that's the one thing. If I could comment on the age thing as well, because I was watching with my friends, and then we were like all like hating on the situation with him you know, trying to be with a 15-year-old, and then we see the 12-year-old, and we're like, go back, wrong direction.
That's so funny. Go back. But like, I did, you know what? Honestly, man, that scene was so creepy that I even felt bad for the actress that had to do that scene, because that was just the words that she was saying were so creepy, bro. It just didn't feel right. I felt very, very uncomfortable in that scene. I feel like most of that. Sarosh, you were going to say something?
Well, I was just saying the actress who plays Allison has come out in interviews. She's herself queer in real life and said they did play that scene with some, you know, ambiguity, like that first episode and as well as this scene. So there is some of that, you know, adolescent female friendship, you know. So it's not that it's just that kind of thing. I think, you know, they played to that definitely. So I think that came across for sure.
Yeah, no, for sure. I thought it brings up a lot of questions about their relationship, which I think is really, really interesting. But it almost felt like, I don't know if this is the right word, but like reverse grooming, what she was doing to to the king. Like, what do you guys think about that, Jazz?
What was my theory last week on this?
I don't remember.
This was it. That Otto, what's his name, was like behind the baby dying.
Oh, yes.
And he was setting it up for his daughter to take over the throne eventually. And here we are, within an episode, 6 months later, she's marrying the king. Well, yeah. By spring, she'll marry the king, but there it is.
That is very devious, man. That is...
Right. And look, the only person who wasn't shocked when the king announced he was going to marry was Otto, right? Yeah. Even Allison was shocked. The whole council was shocked. His daughter was shocked. Otto wasn't.
Because you know why? There was a Otto is mad slick, man. He's mad slick. So this is what he did, right? He was like telling her that, oh, you have to figure out this heir situation, right? And then like all of this stuff you have to do. And then when he's like, oh, I got a proposal for a bride, he's like, well, you know, I don't envy you. You gotta like get married so quickly, which I thought was really shady. Because once he found out that he was trying to get somebody else, he's like, I don't envy you, man. You know, you should have somebody that actually cares for you. And then he's like thinking, Allison does. Interesting. Sarosh, what do you think about that?
I mean, you nailed it. Like that scene, he uses those like subtle words, like it's your duty, you know, to do those things. And he's been kind of scheming, you know, I think of all the players, he's scheming from the backgrounds, talking to him, definitely doing some of that manipulation for sure. In a creepy way, of course, but 100%. He's definitely putting those chess pieces out.
It almost feels like Inception, right? He was planting the idea in his head, then he thought of it. What do you think, man?
Oh, dude, creepy for sure. Like, homegirl's 15, and this dude's straight up pimping out his daughter. Like, hey, go comfort the king. His wife just died. Like, bro.
That's wild. That is wild, man. But hey, whatever you got to do to get to the Iron Throne, right? we'll see.
Yes, men are made. Just like they're saying at the very end, that, you know, we work for what we do. And by we work, I mean I will pimp my daughter out and get her married to the king. That's how we do this.
Yeah. Well, speaking of men who have ambitions for the throne, let's talk about my favorite character, Daemon. Jazz, what do you think about him stealing the egg and starting a little beef, little tension with the king?
I thought it was a good move, actually.
Yeah? Explain.
Like, sometimes you just gotta be a little chaotic, start some things up to really test their mettle. And oh my, because here's the thing, like, if the king cannot handle his brother, he sure as hell cannot handle any of his enemies from the Free Cities, right? So just from that perspective alone, his brother is preparing him for something bigger. Granted, it was like a dick move, very scary. You know, dragons are weapons and highly revered in Targaryen culture, but I thought it was cool. I thought it was a good move, and like his reasoning was solid, and it allowed, it's like, there's a phrase I live by, right? Great men are forged in fire.
Mm-hmm.
He started this fire for what came next.
There. I did like the fact that when Otto came out and everybody was like, oh, they're gonna fight, and then the dragon comes out and he's like, oh, what you want to do now, huh? What you want to do now? Also, let's talk about Daemon smack talking, because he was smack talking, and then Kristen was like, Daemon was like, oh, I don't even know who you are. Chris is like, oh, I remember you when I knocked you off your horse, Ibrahim. That, what do you think about that trash talking?
Yeah, no, I thought that was really good. I think a lot of the dialogue in that scene was really pristine between like all the different characters, each one of them kind of saying things in a way that is going to like edge on the person or get them to do, you know, get them to like start something. Like everyone's trying to start something and no one wants to back down. So it was really fun to see that. And then when Kristen goes, hey, I remember knocking you down. And it was like, someone's about to start.
Best clapback of the night, man. Best clapback of the night.
Like, is that going to be the entire show? Just like a bunch of people being witty and just...
Yeah, I want to keep track of all the clapbacks and see who have the best clapbacks. That'll be my TikTok. I'm just going to collect them all.
I love it. Oh, Suresh, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say in that back and forth, right? Like, that's where Otto, I think, falls apart a little bit, right? Like, he's trying to go up against Damon, and he can't, like, do that little witty back and forth. Whereas, you know, Crispin, you know, he's like, you know, that old age-old trick of, oh, let me mispronounce your name. He comes back with an all-timer. And then just one additional point to that is this is where I think this show is amazing for everyone. People who have not read the books, people who have read the books, because literally in the book, it's three lines, right? It's three lines. Damon stole the egg. Viserys gets mad. Damon returns the egg. That's it. This was one of the most, like, beautiful scenes of Return to Dragonstone. Like, when they were coming in, it was just great cinematography. The dragon, you get this entire, like, fleshing out of what happened. And that's what's awesome about this, because, you know, the book is just, like, this historical record. And now in the show, we get to see these beautiful, you know, scenes. It's awesome.
Oh, wow. So this was only, like, three lines, and they made, like, a whole scene out of it. It's like the Rogue One. Rogue One is, like, a movie based on, like, three lines of dialogue. Is that what happened here?
Yeah, exactly. So, like, I mean, this is just one example. I'm assuming there's going to be more throughout. It's just, like, literally these three lines, and they made this entire sort of scene about where Otto goes, and you get this all-time clapback and the beautiful visuals. Yeah, so it's all, like, expanded on, because all we know is things that happen, but we don't know how they happen. And I think that's where this show is, like, awesome for everyone.
One thing I want to point out there is that when the dragon came in and landed on the bridge, I was impressed that bridge could hold the weight of a dragon and all the people on there. Like, Dragonstone is straight up designed for this stuff. I thought that was a cool little detail, because if they did that in King's Landing or any of the other cities, their whole thing would collapse right there. So they're really going the extra mile with the show, and I really appreciate that.
That is really cool. I really like that. I also just like the way Rhaenyra's, she came in and then she came through this. She came on there and then she just like walked through and like she just handled her business, right? And like she's the only one that he could listen to. And the way Damon was holding the egg, that, like, you knew he did not care about the egg. That was not why he was there. He was just, quote unquote, egging him on. But no, I thought it was really cool, because she was like, yo, if you want this, go ahead, kill me. And he was like, all right, call my bluff. You can have this egg. I'm done. What do you guys think of her coming down and handling business? Suresh?
Yeah, I mean, it's perfect. This is what she wanted to do right before, with going to the crab feeder, and they kind of pushed her aside, and she did it without any bloodshed. She was able to, she's the only one that can really talk to Damon like that. And yeah, you know, he's playing the little, you know, brother that's like trolling and egging on and wanted Viserys to be there. But, you know, she handled that perfectly. And I think Otto saw that, right? You see Otto looking at her like, kind of, you know, I can't control her. I can't control her like I can maybe manipulate, you know, her dad. So I think that, you know, all these things are kind of setting up. So I thought, I liked it.
No, that's good. Ibrahim, what did you think about that scene of Rhaenyra's coming in with the dragon and showing up?
So actually, Suresh, I disagree with you. I think Otto may have planned this. I mean, that's my theory, is that Otto is like really cunning. And you can see Rhaenyra's reaction when she finds out which egg it is. She's like ready to go. She'd mentioned already previously that she's a dragon rider. Otto stops the king from going. And then this is a great opportunity to make the heir look vulnerable by having her rush into a situation she's not ready for. Because otherwise, if she hadn't shown up, Otto would have died. That would have been his worst strategic like option. Because I felt like he was very close to like perishing under
Damon. I don't think Damon would have actually, I guess, yeah, Damon's unstable, but I don't know if he would have like gone through with it. But yeah, who knows how many moves ahead they're all thinking. That's like the beauty of Game of Thrones, right?
Yeah, you never know. You never know. No, absolutely. I just thought that, like, I felt like Otto, like, had a little bit of a hand in it, because he felt too vulnerable than usually is. And so I was like, is there something up his sleeve?
Okay, so what I think happened, Otto wanted to stand up and show that he's strong, and therefore that he wanted to unite their houses, right? This was another play for him to get the king to marry his daughter. However, he bit off way more than he could chew because he was not prepared for that. No one there was. I mean, let's be real. Dracarys, they're all dead, right? When Rhaenyra came in, she straight up saved him. And I also think this was a heart-to-heart conversation between, you know, her uncle and herself, because when she said, all right, go ahead and kill me, right? This is her saying, I didn't choose to be heir.
Right.
This was not on me. And if you're pissed about that, go do your thing. I don't want to do this. I don't want to be here. Right. She was ready to die because it wasn't her choice. And I think that's when her uncle kind of realized, like, oh, snap, wait a second. She's also as much of a victim in this as me here. All right, fine. Take your stupid egg. Whatever. We're done.
He threw that shit like a volleyball.
He just
I thought that was really, really funny.
I'm also pretty sure that was like ad lib. I don't think that was actually part of the script. I think he's just like it was like meant to go back to him, but he just kind of just had his own little flair to it. Like,
I believe it. Matt Smith would do that. Matt Smith is hilarious. I love that dude. Yeah. I don't know, man. It was very interesting. You know what I thought? I didn't know he was bluffing. I thought he really did get the whore pregnant. I don't know what's her name. Like, what was her name? I forgot her name. What is it?
Missandra or something?
I don't know, man.
No, Missandra was from the last Game of Thrones.
It sounds something similar, but his boo thing. You know? And like, she was pissed off, man. And I like that they gave her a little bit of storyline too, and like a little bit of character development. And she's like, hey, I'm here because I wanted to feel safe. And now you put me in a position where, like, yo, I'm not safe anymore. So like, what the hell? Ibrahim, what do you think about that?
I thought she was really interesting. I mean, she didn't seem like as significant to me in the first episode. And then in the second episode where she's played with, and you know, there are characters like that are played with that way or used as pawns, but then she stands up and she's like, actually, I took control of my life. I came to you because I was trying to look for freedom. So she had some interesting thoughts and ideas, and it also like sheds light on some of the social issues that are impacted in the show as well, because, you know, human trafficking and slavery and all these things are still like happening. So it's really interesting to see from her perspective where she's like, no, I'm looking to break free. Even I'm marrying you. I was looking for some kind of freedom and some kind of like difference and control and something to change and so on and so forth. So it's really interesting her take on it as well.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Okay, very cool. Very cool. Sarosh, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, she talked about being passed around, right? You know, that's her background and she's looking for that safety. I do question if, you know, Damon's the guy that's, you know, you can rely on to be safe with. He's the rogue prince, right? He's the, you know, the title character, right? So if that's what she was expecting from this, I don't know if that's, you know, the best, if that's the outcome that's going to happen there, you know, that's something that's a little on her part. I get what she's looking for, but Damon is the unstable as the rogue prince. I don't know if that's the best choice for her, but I get what she's looking for.
For me, I feel like Damon gives me Tyrion Lannister vibes, where, like, you know, he is a little against the grain. He's got a really fresh mouth. He's got clapbacks. And then he's also, like, in love with, you know, these common women, right? Or these prostitutes and stuff like that. And he's ready to be like, yeah, I don't care who is betrothed to me. I'm going to be with this person. So it kind of holds up to the theory that Tyrion was actually a Lannister, which Jazz said last time.
Yeah, a Targaryen, you mean? But yeah.
Oh, Targaryen. Sorry, what did I say?
You said Lannister. He is Lannister. Yeah. But the theory is that he was a Targaryen. He's a dragon rider. But that theory never came true. Her name is Lady Mysteria, and that's what it was. Just, you know, want to clear that up. Man, I had one issue with her, and it's not her per se. It's actually the showrunners and who did the casting. This is the first time we've seen an Asian American character on the show, right?
Is it?
Or an Asian character?
I don't even know.
Yeah, and they made her a whore. Like, that is some...
Oh, shit. I didn't realize that.
That's like a trope, and I'm just so tired of seeing it. Like, Asian women are more than just, you know, ladies of the night. Like,
I didn't. First of all, I'm stupid because I didn't even realize she was Asian. And then, like, that is pretty messed up. I didn't even put two and two together. Wow. Thanks for pointing that out, Jazz.
Yeah. I mean, these things you got to, like, pay attention to because it's very subtle, right? Like, yeah. Most people, I don't think most people even noticed how messed up this is. But when I saw that, I'm like, oh, not again.
Oh, man. Like, because when I saw her, I thought she looked like Olivia Munn. So I was like, oh, like she had like an ambiguous look, but you're right. She's Asian. And oh, man, that is horrible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No good.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's move on to, well, speaking of Damon, right? I do like this like brotherly admiration that he kind of has, because like when Corlys is talking shit about his brother, he's like, listen, I can talk shit about my brother, you cannot. I thought that was pretty interesting. What about you, Ibrahim?
Yeah, no, it shows you that there's a depth to him, that he's not just being crazy, or he's not just trying to be defiant, or he's not full of hate. He understands that there are like other things that are at play that are causing his brother to do this, and other people around him that he's not happy with, obviously, like Otto and others. So it just shows that there is like a deeper connection to him, to the family, than he kind of shows outwardly or sometimes displays with his actions, like in like the last episode or other moments.
True. Sarosh, what about you?
Sorry to cut off there for a second, but I guess my thoughts on that are, yeah, what we saw in that first episode when he was sort of banished, I think what he was telling his brother was very true. Like, he wants to be there by his side. You know, he thinks that there's some, you know, weaknesses or some vulnerabilities that brother has that he wants to be there to protect him. And so he says, look, like, all of you all, you can't say those things. It's that complicated relationship. I think at the end of the day, he wants to truly be there for him. Circumstances haven't allowed that, and I think that he still struggles with that.
Jazz?
I think this is what the show's doing exceptionally well, is that every character here, morally, they're not black or white. They're all gray and different shades of gray, right? His brother, he wants to be the heir, right? He will instigate a fight with his brother. Is he good or bad? You know, he's jealous of his niece. Is he good? Is he bad? He didn't kill her. He gave the egg back. Otto, you know, he actually has the interest of the realm at heart, but he wants, you know, his bloodline to ascend the throne. So he may have killed the heir for a day. The master of coin, right? Like, one time he's on one side, one time he's on the other. Lord Corlys, like, you know, his wife obviously did not get the throne. There's some resentment there. But she also cares enough about Rhaenyra to tell her some things, even though it's misplaced and rooted in patriarchy. But she still, you know, has some feeling and caring for her. And Lord himself, you know, he wanted the king to marry his, like, what seemed to me like a 9-year-old daughter. I mean, yeah, she was 14 or what, or 13 or whatever. But, like, they're all gray, and the show does a very good job about that.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like there is I really do feel like when he said that he cares about his brother, he's not lying. He
no.
definitely does not trust the people in the council. And mm-hmm. he's like, listen, if something happens to you, I need to be there because I can handle it. I can make shit happen. Right. And I think he truly believes that. And I think he, in his mind, thinks he's the hero of the story. And, you know, we'll see where that goes. But you did mention, Corlys and Lady Rhaenyra, right? And what do you guys think about her relationship with Rhaenyra, right? I feel like it is a very complicated relationship, and I feel like from one point she's like, hey, if somebody was going to stop the patriarchy, it should have been me, right? Why do you get to? And I feel like she's having this kind of resentment towards her. Ibrahim, what do you think?
No, I totally agree with you. That like tit for tat that we're having for a bit, like, that was really interesting to see, like, the conflict between them, because she's the queen that never was, and then she's supposed to be the future queen. So it's like that complication of, like, you know, someone kind of putting someone else down because they didn't get the chance to be that, and being kind of annoyed that their success means they're, like, not an opportunity for them to be successful as well. And her banter was really good.
Student loan forgiveness. Facts.
Couldn't resist, sorry.
100%.
Sarosh, what about you?
Yeah, I think you guys nailed it. There's that, I mean, literally her nickname is the queen who never was. There's some of that resentment. And I think actually even Corliss feels that, you know, because it's in his best interest, you know, those things that he feels just as much. And then I loved Rhaenyra's response to that. She's like, you know, when I'm queen, I'll change the order. And that's like super, you know, Daenerys vibes, you know, like I'm going to break the wheel. Like you get, what I really like about this show is that you have some of the same motifs, elements, but it is different, but you get some of those same vibes and those feelings. And I absolutely love that part.
So, you know, on one side we have the patriarchy, the other side, there's subtle hints to, like, you know, race and stuff, because Corlys has to literally be the richest man in the entire world just to get a seat at the table, right? And even then, he feels like he isn't, you know, treated with respect. And then we find out that, you know, even though he's of Valyrian descent, and he still had to come up through his bootstraps and, like, you know, make something of himself from scratch, which I thought was pretty interesting. Jazz, what do you think about that?
What I think about everybody who says they come up from the bootstraps, they're all dirty liars. But
right there. He had a very Republican line, right?
Yeah. Nobody ever makes it all by themselves. I always hate those lines. That line at the end where he said that, you know, I had to suspend my belief there because, you know, I'll be very honest, I would have lashed out. But it's a TV show, and I got to take a step back and be like,
right,
you know what, fine. It's
fantasy.
Let me just accept that for what it is for now. But that line, pulling up from the bootstraps, fine. I mean, if you did make it all the way up, I do appreciate that the show gave some form of meritocracy here. You know, it's not enough, but cool. Like, yeah. You know, so he was of darker skin. He still made it. Good for him.
Yeah. I am very excited to see where that goes. And I'm very excited for the next episode. So, you know, with that being said, thank you guys for being on the show. Really appreciate you being here. Let me give you guys some time to promote where people can find you. Ibrahim, let us know where people can find you. Give us
And closing thoughts.
Oh, and then we'll do closing thoughts. Yeah, give us your closing thoughts and where people can find you.
Sure. So closing thoughts, a couple of things I wanted to mention is the first one is like, personally, one of the things that I'm having trouble with over this show in general is that Game of Thrones had so many different storylines, and this is one storyline. So that's something that I'm like struggling with and trying to learn about and get to know. I haven't read the books, by the way, but it's just an interesting, like, very change of dimensions. So it's just interesting to see that in this show. And then the second thing quickly wanted to mention as well is that Otto's, like, nickname online, I don't know if y'all have seen that, but people are, like, comparing him to Littlefinger, so they call him Middle Finger, which I think is that is a great nickname.
That's awesome. Good.
That's hilarious. Yeah. All right, tell people where they can find you. Oh, were there more?
No, where they can find me. Yes, yeah. You can find me on Instagram at the Funny Fedefin. Always there for the vibes.
Awesome, man. Well, you know, can't wait to see you. Hopefully, you know, see him on Instagram. Are you on TikTok? You got to get on TikTok, man. That's where all the comedians are, man.
Yeah, I tried TikTok. I'm not sure if it's exactly for me, but I'm trying to build up like stage work as well a little bit. But really excited to have come on this show. This was really fun and like a great experience to just talk stuff about, you know, TV shows. Love it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for being here, man. We really appreciate it. Sarosh, how about you, man? Give us your closing thoughts and where people can find you.
Yeah, so I'm going to start with what Jazz said, and I think your guest last week as well, Zena, nailed it, right? Everyone in the show, great characters, and I think the showrunners and George R. R. Martin have come out and said, like, that's what makes this show so unique. But, you know, Game of Thrones, we had those characters that you could almost everyone could root for, like Arya, Tyrion, you had, and like kind of Jazz laid out, every character here has some, you know, this moral gray, like you love Daemon, but there's a little bit, you know, things, or maybe Neebs, you still love him no matter what because he's Matt Smith, but I, you know, there's things there that I really enjoy about the show, that, you know, that those complexities, those real life relationships, and then that level of detail, like Jazz was also saying with the start, that permeates through the show. I'll quickly say, like, the original show, they brought on a language like creator to make the Dothraki language. They brought that same group or person here to do High Valyrian, right?
Yeah.
And all the actors are learning it, and they're just all so dedicated. I mean, it's been a ride. I've definitely enjoyed the first two episodes, looking forward to the rest. And yeah, thanks for having me on. I guess my side gig, the other thing I do is music. So on TikTok, I'm at DJ Surreal Music, but we'd love to come back on with the nerd stuff. This was
oh yeah.
You're always welcome. All right. You're family. This is nepotism here. Okay.
Listen, I've been telling Jazz forever that like we need to get you to make us a theme song. We can have a little theme song in the beginning.
I'm going to use the music that Jazz sent earlier, right? The crab rave. I'll incorporate that.
No. Oh,
yes.
No, please don't. I take it back. I take it back.
This is how Jazz and I maneuver and take over, right? Through family.
Yeah. We're going to kick Neves out. It's just going to be me and him.
Hostile takeover. This is how you break the wheel. Well, thank you, everybody.
Wheels of steel.
Listen, thank you, everybody, for joining us. This was a lot of fun, and we'll definitely have you guys on again. And until next time, guys, salam, nerds, and don't forget to donate to the Pakistani flood relief, man. We really, really appreciate it if you do. And until then, guys, see you next time.
Peace.